We have a very special guest today. His name is Congressman Tom Price. He is the congressman, the Republican congressman from the 6th Congressional District right here in Georgia. He is a doctor, ran an orthopedic clinic for 20 years here in the greater Atlanta area. He's a professor of orthopedic surgery at Emory University, and he actually authored the Republican alternative to Obamacare, known as Empowering Patients First. Congressman Price, thanks so much for being with us.
Hey, Ty, Steve, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
All right. Now, I don't know how to say this in a nonpartisan way, so I'll go ahead and try and do it. Tell me your assessment, if you would, of the Supreme Court's ruling on Obamacare.
Well, I think it's, there's good and bad. The first is that I think the court said for the first time, truly, that there are limits to the Commerce Clause, and I think that's a good thing.
All right.
They said that the ability of the federal government to extort the states to expand programs, in this instance Medicaid, was limited, and that's good. And then finally, the last thing that confounds most individuals who've looked at the court and looked at this ruling, they found that under the taxing authority under the Constitution for Congress, that the president's health care law and that the individual mandate would be considered constitutional. I think that stretches credulity. However, that's what the court ruled, so it's a tax, and we move on and look at the provisions of the law that I know you all are so very, very concerned about.
Yeah, there's no question about it. And it seems to me that as I read the accounts and I read the stories that Judge Roberts changed his mind later on. And it seems to me, again, listening to the media and reading different reports, that he did that later on. Then he rewrote the statute to make it, in his view, constitutional. What are your thoughts there?
Well, I think historians will figure that out, and the folks that write the biographies and the autobiographies and all that will put the meat on those bones. But the fact of the matter remains that the law is now the law of the land, and so we've got to deal with it and understand and appreciate that it is destructive to everything that we hold dear about health care, and I believe it's destructive to our economy. So I'm a glass half full guy, and I'm a forward thinking guy. So it's time now to get down to work and figure out how to repeal this law and then move in the direction of patient centered health care, which you alluded to earlier.
No doubt about it. Now, I have a question. My 83-year-old father-in-law asked me this question earlier this week, and I want to pose it to you. He's 83 years old. He's on Medicare, and he says, "Okay, when he disagreed with Obamacare, he thought the Supreme Court would strike it down. He didn't. It didn't. He said, "Okay, now when does Obamacare start? When does all the good stuff start for me?" That's what he said. I'd love to hear your answer to that.
Well, the short answer is never.
Right. So that's what I said.
But what I think what the administration would say is that it all kicks in 2014, and what kicks in then are the taxes in all their glory. That's $500 billion of increased taxes over the next 10 years, plus the taxes for the individual mandate, the folks who don't comply with that, plus for your father, the individual payment advisory board, which makes it so that there's a board of 15 individuals in Washington, 15 bureaucrats, not approved by the Senate, who will have the authority to both prospectively and retrospectively tell his doctor that, yes, we believe that you did the right thing, or no, we don't, and consequently we're not going to pay you, or we're going to take our money back.
In fact, doesn't Obamacare gut, to a degree, Medicare? And so it's very possible that his care gets worse instead of better.
Absolutely, Ty. And the reason for that is that the way that they, quote, paid, unquote, for this law is to take $500 billion out of Medicare, remove $500 billion from Medicare so that they can pay for these other areas. And the way that they're going to do that is not just through waste, fraud, and abuse, but through this independent payment advisory board, which will, in essence, deny care to seniors or deny the payment for care to seniors, and that's the same thing. That's what folks have called the rationing board. I don't use that language because I think that it's that what they would say is that we're not saying your doctor can't do it. We're just saying we're not going to pay for it. Mm.
Which effectively says your doctor can't do it financially.
Exactly right.
Exactly. All right. Is this election, this upcoming election, is it the last chance to prevent a European style social model taking hold here in the U.S.?
Well, I think it certainly in healthcare and the financial sector, it is, because once, as history has shown in other cultures and in other nations, once this takes hold, once you pass out the largesse from the central government, and people get used to that, then it is extremely difficult, if not impossible, to roll back the clock. So that's why I believe 2012 to be, in fact, the most important election of our lifetimes, and it's time for folks to engage. And the good news is that so many people in our country have been complacent from a political standpoint that all we have to do is to get those folks to engage and involve themselves in the process and vote. And this will move in the right direction. We can turn this country back on the right track.
All right, we're talking today to Congressman Tom Price, Republican from right here in Georgia. You authored the Empowering Patients First Act, notwithstanding Obamacare. Let's just say that we elect, hopefully, Mitt Romney and a Republican Congress and a Republican Senate, and we repeal Obamacare. Notwithstanding Obamacare, what is the biggest problem facing our health care system, and how does Empowering Patients First address it?
Well, Ty, it's important for people to appreciate that none of us believe that the status quo in health care is acceptable. It doesn't work for patients. It doesn't work for docs. Clearly doesn't work for employers or employees. So how do you solve these challenges without putting Washington in charge? Through our bill, what we do is make certain that every American has the financial wherewithal through tax deductions or credits or advanceable credits or refundable advanceable credits, the financial wherewithal to be able to purchase the kind of health coverage that they want for themselves and for their families, not that the government wants for them. And then you've got to address very pointedly the insurance challenges, portability and pre-existing being the two biggest ones. You ought not lose your insurance if you change your job or you lose your job. So you ought to be able to own your insurance coverage regardless of who's paying for it. So if you change your job, you just take it with you. It would be like a 401k. And then pre-existing illnesses, which is the left hits us with all the time. But if you look at it, it's those folks in the individual and small group market that are challenged, not anybody else. And so we ought to allow those folks, 18 million strong across this country, to pool together so they've got the purchasing power of millions so that no one individual's health status affects the premium for anybody else. That makes it so that no pre-existing illness or injury precludes anybody from gaining health coverage. So you can get folks covered and you can get them covered with the coverage that they want, not that Washington wants for them. And you could do it without putting the government in charge.
Do you see health insurance more like we purchase car insurance, where if you want comprehensive, if someone hits your car, you want to be fixed, where you can choose that? If you want a lower or higher deductible, you can choose that. If you want to have a rental car available to you, if something happens to your car, you can choose that, and you choose the size of your insurance bill on a monthly basis. Do you see healthcare going that direction?
Well, it ought to go in that direction instead of the direction we're going, because what that does, as you well know, is allows individuals to tailor their coverage to their current situation, to their current needs. Right now, what we've got is a large central government telling each and every American that you've got to have this coverage and this coverage only, and that is all the bells and whistles that the federal government largesse thinks that you ought to have. The fact of the matter is that is not responsive to people, and it's one of the huge reasons why we've got to move in that direction of patient-centered health care, which for me means patients and families and doctors making medical decisions and not anybody else.
Again, we're talking to Congressman Tom Price, author of Empowering Patients First, the Republican alternative to Obamacare. How much of a role in Empowering Patients First, that act, how much of a role does tort reform play or getting the ridiculous lawsuit awards out of the way so we can reduce health care costs?
Oh, it's absolutely huge. And again, it was one of the huge failures of the president's law because it gave a wink and a nod at that lawsuit abuse reform and really did nothing. But what we believe is most appropriate is to not just put a cap on non-economic damages, which is the routine response for folks in states, but to make it so that when your doctor does the right thing, he or she ought not be sued. And the right thing means the right thing based upon specialty society guidelines, medical professionals who understand that if you have this diagnosis, these are the kinds of things that ought to be done. What that does is makes it so that the practice of defensive medicine, which wastes hundreds of billions of dollars, literally, up to $600 to $800 billion a year in this country, estimated by Gallup and others, that we could save those because the doctor, your doctor, would know that if he or she did the right thing, that they would have an affirmative defense in a court of law. That amount of savings, imagine what we could do with that in terms of just rolling back the size and scope and reach of the federal government, decreasing the deficit, but also making it so that the expansion of the ability for the tax refundable advanceable tax credit for those at the lower end of the economic spectrum would be able to purchase coverage that they want for themselves, not that Washington demands they must have.
All right, we're coming up on break here. We're talking to a Congressman Tom Price from the 6th Congressional District right here in Atlanta, Georgia. If someone wants to find out more about you, more about the Empowering Patients First Act, make contributions to your campaign, because I agree with you, this is the biggest election season in our lifetimes. How do they do that?
Tom.house.gov, tom.house.gov is the official site, which has the information about H.R. 3000, the Empower Patients First Act. And then just tomprice.com is the campaign side, and we'd love to have people engage in the process. On that website, we'll also put up the list of candidates across the country, the challenger candidates, who are necessary, we believe, to win in order to turn this nation around.
Outstanding. What we'll also do on the TyJYoungShow.com website, we'll put a link so folks can access those websites. Congressman Price, thanks so much for being with us. We really appreciate it.
Thanks, Ty. Keep fighting for freedom.
Hey, will do. Will do. All right.